Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Current Issues. I'm your host, Hisham Tilawi. And, of course, this afternoon we also have Mark Glenn with us. It's a little chilly down here in Louisiana. We're not used to cold weather here, and especially when it's associated with rain. So, let's see. Today we are going to speak about something that you have probably been hearing a lot in the news, which is the upcoming peace conference between the Palestinians and the Israelis. Of course, the United States had, you understand, the vision of George Bush when he said few years back that he has a vision of a two-state solutions. Well, George Bush has a little over a year left in the office, and he is far from having that vision even starting to materialize. But this coming up week, we have, and precisely, I believe, on the 27th of November, the Palestinians, the Israelis, the Americans, and about 40 other delegates from different countries. Most of these countries, by the way, are influenced by our money. So George Bush is trying to make this thing, a big peace conference that will not really have much to do with peace. It has a lot to do with trying to divert attention from what he's doing in Iraq and, of course, divert attention from what is going on in the economy that many people now are talking about. Of course, we talked about the economy 5 years ago. We said that the dollar will tank one day, and it is in a huge, fast dive. But we're not going to talk about the dollar today. Probably, I know if some people want to talk about it, we will talk about the economy. But mainly we're going to see if there is a chance for peace in this Annapolis meeting that will take place on the 27th in Annapolis, Maryland. With us, of course, is Mark Glenn of the American Free Press. Let's say hi to Mark. Mark, how are you?
Dr. Tilawi.
Well, we have probably about a minute left before we go to break, but what do you think of this Annapolis meeting, Mark?
Well, it's much ado about nothing, just like all of the other peace conferences that have taken place the last 40 years. It's just another way of trying to paint this fantasy that Israel actually wants peace with her neighbors, when in actuality she doesn't. She would cease to exist if peace ever broke out in the Middle East. Her whole existence is tied up in warfare and in struggle. And the day that Israel doesn't have any more enemies, Israel ceases to exist.
Very good. We'll talk about peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians that George Bush is trying to achieve or appearing to be. We'll be right back.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear, and here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new, alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
The Healing Formula is an all-natural, patent-pending wound and skin care formula developed mainly for the treatment of pressure sores and diabetic ulcers. The formula was developed by a home caregiver with more than 30 years' experience. We use the finest ingredients available, including certified organic aloe vera gel with all the beneficial enzymes intact and food-grade hydrogen peroxide. The Healing Formula works from the inside out, oxygenating the affected area, stopping the spread of infection, and decreasing pain while promoting healing. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com. The Healing Formula has proven effective in other areas of skin care as well, such as abrasions, rashes, and the treatment of pyorrhea, gingivitis, ear infections, and much more. The Healing Formula comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee if you're not completely satisfied. We offer a free sample to all nursing homes, home caregivers, and nurses. It is our sincere hope that the Healing Formula will help you or your loved ones to avoid any more unnecessary pain. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com.
Gentlemen, we are coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. You're listening to Current Issues. I am your host, Hisham Tilawi, and with me is Mark Glynn of the American Free Press. Also, I would like to welcome all the people in our chat room on RBN. There's a few people in there, and as we promised you last time, that if anyone would like to participate, we will try to take a look at the room every once in a while and see if we can answer some of the questions. So I encourage everybody to get in that chat room and listen to us while you discuss issues with some of the other people in the room. Just go on the RBN website and click on the chat button and you will be in the chat room. Anyhow, ladies and gentlemen, what we wanted to discuss today is something that is being discussed all over, and since we are Current Issues, that's the name of the show, so this is definitely an important issue that we will be speaking about, which is this so-called peace conference in Minneapolis. That will take place on the 27th of November. Of course, this is the brainchild of George Bush, who is a man of peace, of course, as most of you know. George will not kill nothing. He will not even kill his own shadow if he can't see it, but that's another.
You know, vampires can't see their own reflection.
Well, this man cannot see anything, much less his reflection. But what do you think of this crazy thing? What's so interesting, Mark, is at first they said it's the peace conference. And then Ehud Olmert called it a get-together. Then they called it a meeting. Then I don't know. And the invitation went out to about 40 different countries, most of them with strings attached to the money that we are dishing out to control people and buy our influence throughout the world, which, of course, you do know that that influence and our money will not be able to go far when the dollar is not really worth much anymore these days. So our influence in the world that we are buying, people will be probably rejecting it and looking at other people to and other people's money and influence. So we're heading towards a disaster, but let's concentrate on this thing with the Israelis and the Palestinians. Do you see anything coming out of this, especially that none of the items of concern between the Palestinians and the Israelis will even be talked about?
Are you asking me or are you asking the listeners?
I'm asking you.
No, I don't think anything is going to come out of it. I think, particularly given what is taking place in Iraq right now, the delegates from these various Arab countries, they are going to go there and they are going to be as meek as church mice, to put two comparisons together. Obviously, as you pointed out, Hisham, the real reason for going into Iraq was not weapons of mass destruction or bringing democracy or anything like that. As much as this appears to be a big debacle and that nothing is going according to plan, everything is going perfectly according to plan. Iraq has been destroyed and is sitting there as a giant festering wound for everybody in the Middle East to see. And so just as a parent or a school teacher takes an unruly child and disciplines him in a very serious way in front of everybody else to make an example of him, that example has been made in the person in the country of Iraq. And so these Arab delegates, particularly from the countries that are bought and paid for by the United States, principally Egypt, Jordan, and Saudi Arabia, they're not going to squeak. They're not going to make any protests. They may pound their fists a few times for show, but in general, they know that they are on the weak side of the bargaining table, and I don't see anything coming out of them.
Okay. Let's, for those listeners who don't really know much about the problem here, and of course everybody knows that there is a problem between the Palestinians and the Israelis, and don't know how this problem started, you know, very briefly, we're not going to go in details, but we'll catch it from in the 1940s when the British controlled Palestine and they allowed the illegal Jewish immigration to into Palestine, or immigrants to go into Palestine. And before you know it, the Jewish population was about one-third in 1947 of the total population, and the United Nations, of course, with the help of the United States and British and mainly the Western powers and Russia, I might add, at that time, had very much decided to partition the land between the Arabs and the Jews. And the Jews, who were one-third of the population, received 52% of the land. And the Arabs, who at that time were two-thirds of the population, and the Arabs who lived on the land for thousands of years, very much now, we're not talking about only Muslims, we're talking about Muslims, Christians, and actually Arab Jews. And, you know, the term Arab Jews, sometimes people look at you funny when you say it, but actually there are Arab Jews. Judaism is a religion, and an Arab is an ethnicity. But, of course, you know, to a lot of people out there, even Jews themselves don't even know what the heck you know, being a Jew means. Is it a religion or is it a race? But of course, you know, we're not going to get into that right now because we have other more important stuff actually to discuss, which is there going to be a peace in Annapolis? So what happened in 1948, the Israelis decided to take over the country with the help of the British and other nations. They established the State of Israel back in 1948, but that was after they had after they had killed many Palestinians, burnt many villages, and forced the population to leave the areas where they had lived and the villages where they had lived for thousands of years. And now we have the problem between the Palestinians and the Israelis. 1967, Israel took over the rest of the land, and the whole of Palestine is occupied by Israel. And you know about the wall that Sharon had built, basically to choke the life and imprison all these people in Palestine. And you know about the borders, that Israel does not have any defined borders because they wanted to have more and more, as much land as they can. Of course, they would like to go on the other side of the River Jordan and actually go down to the Nile River if they can, and go east all the way to the Euphrates, because that's exactly what their plan was as the Zionist organization. But now we are the children of today. We have a bunch of people going to Annapolis because George Bush decided to call for a peace conference to end all wars between the Israelis and the Palestinians. Well, the Israelis had very much decided before they even come that none of the issues, the sticking issues. Now, what are the sticky issues in this dilemma here? Number one, you have the refugees who very much were forced off their land. There was at that time, and it still is, a United Nations resolution, that is Resolution 194 of 1948, which calls for the return of all refugees to their homes. That did not happen. That was 60 years ago, and these refugees are still in refugee camps all over the Arab world, mainly in Lebanon, Syria, and Jordan, and some are in Egypt, and of course many were also in camps in Iraq. And after the fall of Saddam, these people were targeted by different groups, which they decided to leave. Jordan did not take them in, so they set up camp in a no man's land between the off the border of between Jordan and Iraq. But the refugee problem is one that has, you can't leave these people out if you want peace. Second, Israel must define its borders, and it must leave the territories it occupied in 1967, because the Palestinians, when they signed the Oslo Peace Agreement, they signed it back in 1993, and it was supposed to be in 1998 a Palestinian state. 5 years later, they were planning on, or that was the agreement, that we will go through an interim government called the National Authority for 5 years, and then we will go into the final agreement or final settlement between the Israelis and the Palestinians. Well, 98 came and gone, long gone. We're almost at 2008, so that's 10 years after the promise was made to the Palestinians that they will have their own state. Now we see Israel is not even close to agreeing to even have a Palestinian state. Also, we have the problem with Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a holy place not for Jews only, but also for Christians and for Muslims. And we'll continue with this. I hear the music and Mark's racketing in the background, so we will be right back.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health. Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint water system with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
This is Current Issues, and I am your host, Hisham Tilawi. We are discussing the possibility of peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians, and we're going to see and discuss in the next hour or so of exactly what are the possibilities of actually having some type of an agreement. Now, keep in mind that Gaza is controlled by Hamas, Abbas, who does not control Gaza, which is about one-third of the population there, or a little less, probably one-fourth of the population is in Gaza. But the main thing is, 2 days ago, the Israelis came out with that the Palestinians, before we have any agreement with them, they need to recognize that Israel is a Jewish state. Of course, Ehud Olmert had to throw that in because he was forced by his minister of strategic affairs, whatever that ministry called, that Lieberman, the guy who very much wants all the Palestinians dead, and he wants them all to leave. So let's go back to Mark Glynn with American Free Press. And before I go back to Mark, I want to say hello to everybody in the RBN chat room and encourage people to go into the chat room to listen to us and at the same time discuss some of these topics that are that the people in the chat room are discussing. Mark, what do you think of this demand by the Israelis that the Palestinians recognize Israel as a Jewish state?
Well, as I have said on many occasions, Hisham, to the anger of a lot of people, this is the crux of the entire problem in the Middle East, is that you have a small group of powerful people who are holding on to an outdated, backwards idea, and they are trying to impose this outdated, backwards idea upon the rest of the world, and there is a group of people who are not standing still for it. You see, this idea that supposedly there's a small group of people who are God's chosen people and are favored above everybody else, and that they are entitled to that land by virtue of a few poorly translated words in the Old Testament. This is the crux of the whole problem. Now, you'll never hear any discussion of this issue on any of the mainstream news programs. It's always going to be about Islamic extremism or Palestinian terrorism or whatever it is you know happen to find on that particular day. But the crux of the problem is you have a group of people who are holding on to this notion that they are better than everyone else and that this is their land that God gave them, and therefore they don't have to deal fairly with anyone. You see, that is their right, and so even plunging the entire world into the war to end all wars is perfectly fine with them as long as they can hold on to this backwards notion. So right away, Olmert saying this, he has already doomed the peace talks. He's signaling that they have no intention of actually working out any kind of peace with the Palestinians. What he's saying is, this is a Jewish state. It's for Jews only. If you don't like it, you might as well pack up and move to one of the other Arab countries. This is the message that he is sending to everybody, which more or less, as far as I'm concerned, cuts them off at the knees. They know that they're going into this negotiating process with both of their hands tied behind their back.
You know, now what would it take for true peace to finally materialize in the Holy Land between the Palestinians and the Israelis? And I'll tell you a few things. Number one, any agreement, it has to be just. You cannot have peace alongside injustice. It does not happen. And the only way we will have peace in the Middle East is if the injustice that had taken place against the Palestinians by the Israelis and by the United States and other Western powers, starting with England, those injustices have to be undone before you will have peace. For instance, the refugees, and that is one sticky issue between that the Israelis refuse, even though there is a UN resolution that says and that calls on the return of all refugees. Now, of course, you know, a lot of them are dead by now, but that does not mean that their ancestors and those who are still living, that does not mean that they lose the deeds to their land and to their homes, even though some, you know, most of their homes probably have been demolished and destroyed, and those that are still hanging in there probably has Jewish families live in it. We'll finish with this after we come back from the break, and we'll tell you what it will take.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Attention RBN listeners who suffer from excruciating joint pain. If you are interested in suppressed but amazingly effective traditional arthritis remedies, this will be the single most important message you will ever hear. Here's why. Recently, a scientist who specializes in ancient medicine has discovered a 3,000-year-old arthritis remedy that has been proven in studies to not only relieve joint pain and inflammation, but also to rebuild damaged cartilage as well. And the amazing thing is just how fast it works. In fact, relief for me came in less than a week. Now, because of the rules governing nutritional supplements in this country, no health or healing claims can be made for this ancient remedy. However, it is still legal to own it, and right now a small amount is available to our listeners. Keep in mind, shipments get filled on a first-come, first-served basis, so it's important that you take immediate action by going to www.321relief.com. And the best part? RBN listeners pay absolutely nothing today. Simply go to 321relief.com. That's www.321relief.com, or call 815-259-4555. For details.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are discussing the upcoming peace conference between the Palestinians and the Israelis in Annapolis that was called for by the Bush administration. And we're discussing to see exactly what will it take for true peace. Number one, the Palestinians agreed to the 1967 borders, which means that Israel would have to evacuate these areas, take their military out of these areas before 1967, and also return the refugees or give them some type of compensation, because, you know, after 60 years, probably some of these people may not want to move back to Palestine or Israel, but definitely they should be compensated. Also, East Jerusalem should be given back, where the Christian and Muslim shrines, holy shrines, should be under the control of Muslims and Christians alike. And also, we have, you know, an agreement on water, which is very scarce in that area. You know, it's not fair and it's injustice when the Israeli kids swim in swimming pools and have swimming pools in their homes, and Palestinian kids can't find drinking water to drink, and they have to drink from creeks and rivers and whatever they can find. So that's what it will take. It will take 100% undoing of the injustice that that took place against the Palestinians if Israel wants true peace. Mark, what do you think?
Well, I'd just like to back up for a second if we could, you know, because you're talking about people being compensated. Now, there was a story that came out this week concerning the Holocaust reparations and the fact that Germany, which has paid up to this date close to $40 billion in Holocaust reparations to the survivors and to the relatives of those who didn't survive. And Germany has said, that's it, no more, we're not paying any more in reparations. Keep in mind also that we're always running into a news story about some funds that were squirreled away and hidden away by the Nazis that were stolen from the Jews during that time. Now, can you imagine if the situation were reversed? And, of course, I'm pointing this out because people need to understand the hypocrisy that permeates this entire thing. For the last 40-plus years, Palestinians who were driven off of their land and subjected to all of these hardships, and we're talking about close to a million people by now, there hasn't been any talk of reparations or paying them back for their losses.
Mark, it's been 60 years since the Palestinians were driven off their land in 1948, and 41 years since they were driven back, driven out of the 1967 borders. There are about, I would say, 6 million Palestinians outside of Palestine. Now, most of these Palestinians will not, I would say half of these Palestinians will not be moving back to Palestine. A lot of them have found residency, especially like in Jordan. But there are many Palestinians in refugee camps in Syria and Lebanon. And these Palestinians have to go back before peace actually takes place. But tell me about the reparation thing. You know, you're making a correlation between the Jews being compensated for their properties in the 1940s or during World War II. Up till now, Germany is still paying for their properties. Tell me, talk more about that particular point.
Well, the story itself is that the German government has said, that's it, enough, we're not paying anymore, blah, 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 because you can't, you know, it's like feeding an alligator meat. As soon as you give him one part of the roast, it's not enough, he wants the rest of it. But my point is this, Hisham. Can you imagine if suddenly today there was a new news story that broke out that suddenly they discovered that there was this group of Jews who had been driven out of their homes and they lost their property and they had been living in exile all this time and the German government had been holding on to this money or this property or whatever, and the German government refused to negotiate for the return of this or to compensate them in any fashion. I mean, the howling and the shrieking that would be taking place on the mainstream Zionist news networks, we wouldn't get any peace from it. But yet, as you pointed out, for the last 60 years, the Arabs who were driven off of their land, Muslim and Christian, they have received nothing except ridicule, increased hardship every time they go to the bargaining table. I mean, look, this peace conference in and of itself, the Palestinians are agreeing to lose half of their land. They're saying, fine, just give us the land that was incorporated within the lines of the partition plan. Just give us that. We don't even want all of our property back that was stolen. Just give us enough so that our families are not starving to death as they are now. And even with that, the Israelis refuse to accommodate what I feel is you know, by any stretch, a very reasonable request. And like I said, if we need any validation of this, all we have to do is consider if this shoe were on the other foot and we were talking about reparations for the Jews who suffered during Hitler's reign in Germany, and if there was any stalling on the part of the victimizers, all the howling that we would hear, and yet we haven't heard anything like that when it comes to the Palestinians and what they've had to go through.
Very good. Ladies and gentlemen, our call-in number is 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. We welcome your phone calls. And speaking of phone calls, we are going to go to Canada with Byron. Go ahead, Byron.
Yeah, hi. Hey, hi. I just seen two more Palestinian farmers' brothers were shot today by the Israelis. The Israelis, according to this article, they were raising their farmland, and they went over there to try to stop it, and the Israelis opened fire and killed them.
Byron, this story, as a matter of fact, we're going to mention that, so thank you for mentioning it. This story is not new. Every day Israel is destroying farmland, Palestinian farmland. They are uprooting these trees and destroying these livelihoods of the Palestinians. And as you said, these two brothers went to see about their land, and they were shot by the Israelis at a time when the Israelis are saying, we come into Annapolis to talk peace.
Yeah. Hey, there's another thing. I was listening to, I think it was on Rick Adams. They were talking about John Hagee. Supposedly, there was some Israelis, they killed and shot this 14-year-old Palestinian kid in the head. And Hagee goes, good. And I'm paraphrasing here. It's not exactly, but it was something like this. And I wish you guys would, if you could check this out, because I think the guy should be roasted if he did say this. He said, I hope this is a message to the rest of the Palestinians or the kids that they should just lay down and let the Israelis shoot them in the head or something like that. It was something like that that they were saying on Hagee. And I just wonder if that was really right or if you've heard anything like that or not. But if he did make that statement, he ought to be – somebody ought to take him to task over it. But it, the point I was going to make is, you know, as much as the Israelis need to be blamed, the Arabs – has got just as much guilt on their hands as the Israelis. And I'll go back, not even that long, even 15 years ago to the first Gulf War. And, I mean, you know, Saddam Hussein has to be blamed for going into Kuwait. I mean, for him to be so stupid, and I, believe me, actually, though, Saddam Hussein, I can find a lot of good things that he done in Iraq, at least what I've been kind of found out anyway. He, you know, he wasn't all as bad as what everybody made him out to be, but he was so stupid to think that the Americans give him the blessings, which they kind of did when April Gillespie said that we don't have any anything between inner Arab countries, we don't butt in. And for him to be that stupid, for him to still to go into Kuwait, which give the Americans the opening that they've been waiting for years to get in there, and then you got the Saudis sitting back letting the Americans come in there and put up a huge base to destroy one of their Arab countries, you know, their brothers or whatever you want to call it, you know, for them to let them do it. Plus the Gulf countries, you know, just as guilty as anybody else is in it. And the other thing is, you know, how come the Arabs, with all their wealth, why haven't they been able to go in there and develop their school system to the point where how come the Arabs hasn't been able to develop any weapons, defensive weapons? I don't necessarily mean off, you know, nuclear or whatever, but at least defensive weapons that they can protect themselves. How come they haven't been able to do that? Why is it that, I mean, I kind of know the answer to it, but, you know, 250 million Arabs, and they can't even protect themselves. They have to buy everything they want for, you know, for defensive purposes from the West. How come the Arabs hasn't been able to do that? I mean,
well, you know, Byron, you're bringing up a lot of issues, but let's tackle them one at a time. Of course, you know, the answer to why the Arabs are not doing much, because the Arabs are controlled. You know, you have to go back to how did these Arab countries became Arab countries or became states, and how did these monarchs became the heads of these states. Of course, they were installed there. These families were installed in these states by the colonial powers at the time, which is very much England that was at the time, and then the United States took over. But let's go to you know, the Iraqi thing where Saddam went to Kuwait. You see, when you are the weak party, the stronger party can very much play with you, just like they're playing on a chess game. What they had done, now the United States had controlled the Kuwaitis. There was a need at that time, because Iraq had the fourth largest army in the world at that time, and they were very much technologically, they were getting there, getting up there with all the manufacturers. And what you are saying, Byron, is exactly what Saddam was after. He wanted to get a defense mechanism for the Arabs, and Iraq began to be a self-sufficient state. So the colonial powers, which is the United States on top of that, they could not have, or this so-called new world order. Because right after that, right after Saddam went into Kuwait, what did George Bush the father say? The phrase that we are all now repeating it 24 hours a day. He said, now we are, this is time for the new world order. I still remember him on CNN when he uttered those words. And so what they did is they very much got the Kuwaitis to instigate the problem with the Iraqis. The Kuwaitis were taking oil from this area that supposedly was between the Iraqis and the Kuwaitis.
The Ramallah oil fields.
Exactly.
Hey, but so I want to ask, has that been proven for sure?
Yes,
that they
100%.
Were flat drilling? Is that for sure?
100%. Yes, 100%.
And what about, you remember when Saddam Hussein went into Kuwait? He supposedly, I remember them holding up a piece of paper. Was it Richardson that was the secretary at that time? Richardson, you remember? And he held up a piece of paper where the United States had told the Kuwaitis to do everything they could to destroy or ruin the Iraqi economy, mainly by overproducing. I remember some Iraqis holding that up after they went into Kuwait.
That's
do you
the
remember
second
that?
Thing. That's the second thing. The Kuwaitis, yes, that's the second thing. You have to remember, Iraq was just coming out of the Iran-Iraq war. It was like a couple of years after the Iran-Iraq war had ended. And what really...
Hello?
Yes, Byron.
Yeah.
He's having some trouble with his Skype.
Oh,
that happens every once in a while. But now that Hisham is taken out of the discussion here for a minute, I'd like to add something. Keep something in mind. You know, when you're talking about why was Saddam Hussein so stupid to fall for it, remember that up until that point, he had been doing a lot of business with the Americans. The Americans were supplying him with all kinds of weapons to fight the Iranians.
Okay.
All of those chemical weapons plants that we heard so much about in the run-up to this war, these things were supplied to him by the Americans.
All right, I'm back.
Okay, you're back. Okay,
yeah.
So if I can just finish my point here, Hisham. You know, this is the problem when criminals get together and they want to strike a deal with each other. Sometimes somebody winds up getting stabbed in the back.
Right.
So,
Go ahead, Mark.
No, well, so what I'm saying, Byron, is, yes, Hussein should have been smarter, except he had already been doing business with the Americans and with the CIA for a long time.
Hold on a second. There was a very important meeting between April Glaspie, the United States ambassador to Iraq at the time, and Saddam Hussein, who complained about the Kuwaitis and what they were doing.
Yeah, I remember that. In fact, I got the transcript of that meeting.
Yes, and very much what they told him is, whatever goes on between you and your neighbors, that is an internal Arab issue, and you can deal with it. So very much the United States very much told Saddam, hey, you want to go take care of it? Go ahead and take care of it.
Yeah.
So
but,
Saddam...
But excuse me for a second. If I can tell you why, you know, why Saddam Hussein, why he would trust the Americans. Do you remember when that ship that, well, I'm going to butcher the name of that ship, but it was the most advanced ship they had in the Arabian Gulf there. It was in the I forget what the heck it was. But anyhow, you remember the one that was hit by an Iraqi missile? You remember that? That ship?
It was just a few years ago, right?
No, it was in about 86, 87.
Okay.
It killed about, there was about 50 Americans that was killed in that. And it turned out that the captain of that ship is actually his fault. He didn't identify himself. And the Iraqis sent a silkworm missile that hit it. But the fact was, it was right, that happened right after the Iran-Contra thing, maybe it was even before that, kind of broke out when it found out that the Americans had been supplying, and the Israelis supplying those TOW missiles to the Iranians, plus providing satellite information to both sides, that they were working both sides of that war. And then right after that came out, within days, it was that Iraqi pilot hit that ship. And I thought, well, you know, it was just some Iraqi pilot being really ticked off at the Americans for working both sides of the war. But, I mean, after that, that's when I was saying how stupid the music is there. I'll stop for a second.
Yes, very much. We'll be right back.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. I just got word from the producer that Hashem, we lost him again. He's somewhere out in cyberspace right now. I don't see him. Yeah, he's hooked up. I don't know where he is. Anyway, we were in the middle of talking about this thing. Is Byron still on the air, by the way? Byron's not there. Okay. Byron made some good points in the questions and the comments that he made with regards to the Arabs and the fact that they have not been able to get on their own two feet, as it were, with developing weapons so that they could protect themselves from the aggressiveness of Israel and the United States. But the thing that we have to remember is that this has been something that has been deliberately done by Israel, which is to make sure that the Arab states remain weak and defenseless. You have him back on. Okay, we have Hashem back on. So, Byron, the short answer to your question is, it's an old policy of divide and conquer, and also a policy of disarmament. The Arabs, it's not that they aren't smart enough to be able to develop their own systems and to be able to function as viable political entities on the world scene, able to hold their heads up high with the rest of the world. It's the fact that they have been prevented, deliberately prevented from doing that. This whole situation with regards to Iran right now, even though Iran is not an Arab country, this whole situation with regards to her wanting to develop nuclear technology is a perfect example of this. As of right now, there's absolutely no proof to indicate that she's trying to build a bomb. The reasons that she has given for wanting to develop this technology is so that she can generate power for her people, so that they don't have to sell off their only natural resource, which is oil. And yet we're getting ready to bomb Iran back into the Stone Age and prevent her from being able to stand on her own two feet. So, and we're not even talking about weapons here. We're just talking about industry and technology and economics. You see, so the short answer, if there is such a thing with me, is that the reason they haven't been able to develop these things is because they haven't been allowed to.
Yeah. Mark, we're running out of time here, but we do have some callers. We have Michael Piper's on the line, and then we have Rita. We will catch them when we come back from the for the second hour, as we see that there's a lot of things to be discussed with this Palestinian-Israelis peace conference. Byron, I want to thank you for the call because we're actually out of time. Am I on?
You're on.
Oh, okay. And Byron, you're welcome to call back in the second hour. I'm sure we will have a lot to talk about, and I think it's very important that we discuss where did this whole thing start and how did the Middle East go in this shape that it went in the last 10 years. We'll be right back.